If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. You know, that's a pretty big statement. You can ask what you will. I mean, if you knew that verse, and if his words were abiding in you, and you were dwelling in him, if you met that criteria, I don't care what's wrong with you today, you could ask the king on behalf of that promise, and he would do it for you. Is that right? I mean, is that what he said? Okay, so why don't we use these kind of verses? Because the word's not in us. We can't sit down and write that 100 scriptures. Somebody says, in fact, here a while back, I did ask the question. I said, I want three people, that will come up here one at a time, and I want you to quote me your favorite five verses, just five. I want you to tell me what book, what chapter, and what verse, and then quote the verse. And I just want you to do five. I said, now who would be willing to do that? And a lady got up, and she walked up, and she quoted five. She made a few mistakes in those five, but she got most of them right, but only a couple of places that were she not quoting the right word or something. But she was pretty good. She got five. And so she sat down, and another lady got up, and she did the same thing. And then after she did that, then another lady got up, and she said, I know you said five, but said, can I quote 16? I said, well, of course. She said, I want to quote Psalms 91, and it has 16 verses. Now, that woman quoted every word in Psalms 91, word for word. And whatever, I said, okay, now then that I asked for three, and that's three, was there anybody else just like to volunteer? Nobody else got up. You know what that said to me? First thing, you know what it said to me when three women came up? The men are supposed to be the spiritual heads of the house. The men is supposed to be the one that's teaching their wives and their children the Word of God. And since I didn't have a single man get up to come up, I thought, well, that's really sad that not one single man knew five verses and was willing to get up and quote them to the Lord and to the people. Isn't that sad? When we are spiritual heads, we got to let the ladies take the head. So I'm telling you, gentlemen, if you're a man, you need to change the way you think. You need to start thinking that I am the spiritual head of the house, like the Word of God says. You know, I am supposed to be teaching my wife and my children God's Word every day. And if I teach my wife and my children God's Word every day, you will get to where you know a lot of the Word of God. You need to do that. And the reason I do what I do here is so important that the men know the Word of God. See, the men are supposed to be the spiritual heads of the family. Now then, let me tell you something else. I have seen more Christian men sick with cancer because of this sin I'm fixing to quote to you. They fail to put God first in all they do. And many men, by the time they're 40 or 50 years old, they spent their whole life going to school, educating themselves, being an entrepreneur. I mean, they want to be some kind of a businessman. They want to make $1 million by the time they're 35 or 40 years old. I said, where do you go to church? Well, I go to church when I have time. How often is that? Well, maybe I go once a month. I'm going to tell you what. If you don't start putting God first, I don't know how many years he's going to give you. But I said, when you get that $1 million made, you ain't going to be healthy enough to spend it. You'll spend that $1 million in a hospital trying to get well and then die, and you won't never get to use that $1 million. God's not going to let you be the spiritual head, say you're his child, and go through life and put him on a back burner, and then you get to be 40 or 50 years old and you've got a couple of million in the bank and you say, now I'm going to buy me a big motor home and I'm just going to drive around over the country and I ain't going to do nothing but just rest and relax. God ain't going to let you do that. He did not put you on this earth to do that. And I've seen so many men that are sick with cancer. And as early as 40 years old and 50 years old. And when I tell them this, when they didn't put God first, I said, if you will repent and put God first and do what he says, then he will heal you. And so, you know, I've seen many of them do that, that repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I haven't put you first. I will get in your word. I will spend time with you every day. I will change. And if they mean that, and they do that, then it may take 3 to 6 months for them to get well. Somebody said, well, why didn't God just heal them instantly? He's checking them out to see if they really mean what they say. Are you going to do what you say? You know, are you going to... That's just like when you go to work for somebody. When you go to work for somebody, they say, you know, if you do a good job for us in a year, we'll give you an increase in pay. Now, if it's not a union, and if it's a place where you got to get it on merits. And, of course, I think the unions were the thing that has ruined so many people, because so many people, they just know now that, hey, if I'm there a year, I'm supposed to get this much increase. So I don't have to produce or nothing. I just, in a year, I'm going to get an increase. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to produce for whoever we're working for. I mean, you guys that are in here, how many of you guys that are in here that have hired men to work for you in your life? How many of you have had people work for you? Okay, whenever they work for you, do you want them to be good workers? You want them to make you money? Of course. That's what you hired them for, to make you money. Now then, if they're not making you money, you don't need them, right? No. And that's just the way. That's the same way it works with Jesus. I mean, he tells us all kinds of things like this in his word. I mean, you know, of course, we got the parables where that he gets ready to go away and he gives one man one gold coin and or whatever, silver, and another one two and another one five. And he goes away for a long time. And he comes back and he starts with the one he gave five to. He said, what'd you do with that 5 pounds of money I gave you? Oh, he said, Lord, I went out and invested and I made 5 more. Oh, he says, you faithful and worthy servant. He said, good. He said, come over here. I'm going to put you in charge of many cities in the kingdom. He said, how about you? What'd you do with the 2? Well, Lord, I went out and invested and I made 2 more. He said, well done, faithful servant. I'll put you over many cities in the kingdom. Now then, you, sir, I give you 1. What'd you do with it? He said, well, I know you're a hard man, so I went in the backyard and dug a hole and buried it. And now then I went out, and when I heard you were coming back, I dug it up, and here's your coin. He said, you wicked servant, take the 1 from him and give it to the one that has 10. But Lord, he has 10. He said, I know, but he'll, in other words, what he's trying to say, he'll do something with it. Take it away from him. And then what he said, none of us want to hear. He said, cast that unworthy servant into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's going to be scary someday. That's going to be worse than being sick, isn't it? We don't want to be those kind of servants. We want to be children of God that produce fruit for the kingdom of God. But there, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Now, is that a promise from God if his word's hidden in your heart? Is it? Yes. In other words, if you're abiding in him, and how do you abide in him? You've got to spend some time in the word. You know, you can't be one of these guys that, well, I go to church when I have time. You know, I will... I just happened to look over these 2 girls from up in the Northeast. I just look at these 2 girls and I think, you know, a few years ago I was up in the Northeast and there was 2 ladies like this. Now, I hope y'all don't mind me using y'all as an example. I'm not talking about y'all, you know. But there was, I went up there to speak in an Assembly of God church. And after church was over that night, one of the deacons wanted me, I was by myself, he wanted me to go home and spend the night with him. And so I said, okay. So I went to his home to spend the night. While I was there, there was 2 ladies walked down the street, and he invited them in. And when they came in, I remember he said, Thurman, this is my neighbors down the street. This is Ruth and Lisa. I said, okay. I said, are you 2 girls Christians? Ruth said, yes. I looked at Lisa. I said, are you a Christian? Yes. I looked at Ruth and I said, where do you go to church? Well, she said, I don't go very much. I do go a little, but not very much. I looked at Lisa. I said, Lisa, where do you go to church? She said, I don't go to church. I said to you, say you're a Christian and you don't go to church? No, God doesn't require us to go to church. Well, see, she hadn't read the book. Not at all. I mean, does the scripture clearly say we are to forsake not the gathering of ourselves together on a regular basis? Seemed like I read that in Hebrews 10:25. If Hebrews 10:25 says we are to forsake not the gathering of ourselves together on a regular basis as a manner of some are, and even the more so as we see the day of the Lord approaching. Well, do you see the day of the Lord approaching? Oh, my goodness gracious, and it's rapidly approaching now, I'll tell you for sure. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if the king came today. I would not be surprised if all of a sudden, and all of us that are born again Christians, we're gone. It would not surprise me. I mean, I believe we are that close. But anyway, as I talked to Ruth and Lisa, I said, would you girls share with me your medical history? Our what? Your medical history. What makes you think we have a medical history? I said, after what I've studied in God's Word, anytime you show me two people or one person that says they love Jesus and says they're Christians, but yet they don't go to church and don't produce any fruit for the kingdom of God, I'm going to guarantee you got a medical history because the king is doing his best to get your attention and you have a medical history. And I said, Ruth, do you have a medical history? She said, well, yes, I just had surgery on my right arm. I think she said she had a bad rotator cuff or something, whatever it was in there. She said they had to go in there and do surgery and put some stainless steel bolts in her arm. And she said, now then, I can raise my arm about this high, but that hurts, and said, I can't do it anymore, but said, at least I can use it. I said, wow. I said, Ruth, I believe with all my heart that the Jesus I serve is so forgiving. How many of y'all believe Jesus is forgiving? Hey, He is a forgiving God. Now, aren't we glad?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Declare Your Faith and Redemption from the Curse, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.